Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, it's good to be here, isn't it? How many of you already encountered a moment with God? You've already encountered us too. Like I said, we should have those encounters all the time, not just when we come together, but all the time in our life. Amen. It gives me a great honor. It is a great honor for me to be able to introduce to you your speaker for the day. It happens to be your youth and children's pastor, Pastor Austin. But before he comes up, hold up on that car wash. Hold up on the applause. Before that, I want to recognize his mom and dad today. We're so glad that you're with us, and we're honored to have you. And y'all did a great job raising this young man. You really did. All right, welcome Pastor Austin to the pulpit. Get your Bibles ready.
Good? Hear me? All right. Before I get started, I have a couple announcements. Just a reminder, this Friday, preschool, that's 2-3 to kindergarten, they will be doing campfire s'mores in the bottom of the gym in the FLC. This Friday, it's 6:30 to 8. And then elementary school will be up in Kids Church. We'll be doing a movie night, cotton candy, popcorn, and that'll also be from 6:30 to 8. And then Saturday, the youth will be going to Winter Jam in Greenville. We'll be leaving around noon. I can't tell you when we'll be back, hopefully by midnight. but we're really excited. We have something for all the kids. It's going to be a great weekend. I was going to get up here today before I started and say a little something for a special someone in the back who liked to rag me a couple weeks ago about the Tar Heels. But the good word says to treat others the way you want to be treated. So I'm going to refrain. All I'm going to say is, go Duke. So, I had to give a little bit of a jab there. But if you will you turn with me into Numbers chapter 22? We're going to be starting in verse 22. Now, those who are hearing the voice of God class are probably chuckling a little bit right now because we discussed this in hearing the voice of God class. Don't worry, no confidentiality or anything. But this passage, of all the things we've talked about, it just stuck with me and it kept sticking with me. I know I've read this passage probably 8 times since that class we had. And if you don't know, Hearing the Voice of God is one of the discipleship classes we offer here. It's phenomenal. I'm in the middle of it right now. It's been amazing just to see how God works and that God can and will speak to you. So I'm going to go ahead, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read quite a bit of verses, okay, and then we're going to kind of go back. So starting in verse 22, it says, "But God was incensed that Balaam was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand on the path to oppose him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing on the path with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the path and went into the field. So Balaam hit her to return her to the path. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow passage between the vineyards with a stone wall on either side. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord and pressed herself against the wall, squeezing Balaam's foot against it, so he hit her once again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn left or right. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she crouched down under Balaam, so he became furious and beat the donkey with a stick. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she asked Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have beaten me these 3 times?' Balaam answered the donkey, 'You made me look like a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now.' But the donkey said, 'Am I not the donkey you've ridden all your life until today? "Have I ever treated you this way before?" "No," he replied. And the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the path with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam knelt low and bowed in worship on his face. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came out to oppose you because I consider what you are doing to be evil. The donkey saw me and turned away from me three times. If she had not turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and let her live." So you can hear this story and think, of course, the youth and children's pastor is talking about a story about a talking donkey. And I could see that. Or you could think, well, possibly, maybe Balaam goes to one of those churches that Pastor Terry was talking about where they grow their own plants. And you can look at it that way. And of course, it is an intriguing story because there is a talking animal. But I hope today to convey the impact the message has had on me. This passage has been one of the most impactful passages. And it's not really a passage that I heard very much growing up. But it is just so full of stuff. So I hope that we can, hope I can convey that today. If we go back to the first two verses, I want to read those again. "But God was incensed that Balaam was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand on the path to oppose him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and his two servants were with him." So that's just that first verse. So we know from the get-go that Balaam is doing something that is angering God. He's in opposition of God. He is walking down a path, and he's choosing at this moment a sinful action. Well, to go back a little bit, there's this man named Balak, and he hears that his enemies are coming. So he sends a messenger to Balaam. He says, "I need you to come and curse my enemies." Well, Balaam says, "Well, I've got to talk to God first." So he talks to God. He says, "No, I don't want you to go." So he sends a messenger. He says, "You got to go back and tell him I can't come. Can't do what the Lord doesn't want me to do." So he goes back. Balak sends a messenger back again. He's desperate. He's pleading, "Please come curse these enemies." And so he goes to God again. And at this point, I imagine that God's a little frustrated. He's like, "I told you the first time. Why would I change my mind? I told you the first time. No, I'm not. You can't go." And he says, "Okay, you go ahead." Now here we can look at this and say, well, why does God tell him and then later on he's angry? I kind of imagine it's like when your wife tells you, "You can go ahead," right? No husband's ever heard that before with a little bit of undertone if they don't mean that at all. Or when your kid is about to do something to hurt themselves and you've told them no over and over and you say, "Okay, well, you go ahead." So I imagine that God is saying, "Okay, you're going to see the consequences of your disobedience. You're going to see the consequences of your sin." And so we know that God is a God of love, but with that comes discipline. We have to understand that there are consequences to sin. And so God is allowing Balaam to see this. And when he goes onto this journey, when we get on to later when we see the angel is standing in his way, we understand that God can only act in opposition to sin. So this is a reminder to us that no matter what people tell us, what the world tells us, if the good book says it's a sin, it's a sin. Okay? It's very easy to try to find loopholes, to try to play semantics to say these things, but when it's a sin, it's a sin. And we see that's very clear in Scripture. Now thank Lord that he sent his son to die for us, so that we didn't have to face the ultimate consequence of our sin if we have a relationship with him. But he had to let Balaam see the consequences of his disobedience. So if we jump down to verse 28, it says, "Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she asked Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have beaten me three times?' Balaam answered the donkey, 'You made me look like a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now.'" Now, I could sit here and ask you, do you know what's odd about this verse? And I think the first thing everybody say, oh, well, it's a talking donkey, obviously. Animals don't talk. But for us as a reader of Scripture, we know we've seen this once before. In the beginning, in the garden, The serpent talks and deceives Eve and Adam. Now, we have an animal talking again. So to me, when I'm reading this, this isn't the odd part to me. Well, maybe it's because Balaam's hearing this talking. No, it's not the odd part to me either. The odd part to me is that Balaam is on this donkey. He's rode this donkey. The donkey says, you've ridden me for all your life. And not once has Balaam ever heard an animal speak. Has he ever heard this donkey speak? And the donkey speaks to him. And what does Balaam say? He says, you made me look like a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now. Now, I'm not concerned about the aggressiveness. Balaam's living in sin right now. He's acting in opposition of God. He's blinded right now. But he just witnessed a miracle happen in front of him. The donkey that he's known his entire life just spoke to him, and he missed it. He's so angry with this donkey, because we know three times he beats this donkey. He's so angry that he's missing this miracle that's happening in front of him. Now, are we missing what's right in front of us? Are we blinded? Now, I could sit here and list sins. Right, I can sit here and list sins. Are we blinded by our sins? Okay, but I think we understand, you know, drunkenness, things like that. We understand those. But are you blinded by your pain? Is your sorrow, is your anger with God? Pastor Terry just said there's some people wrestling with God right now. Are you blinded by that hurt, that sorrow? Are you blinded by jealousy? Are these things blinding you to where you're missing the miracles that God is performing in your life? God is performing these miracles in your life. I read this story on social media, and it was this pastor, and this woman came to his office one day. She said, Pastor, I can't come back to church. I can't do it. Of course, the pastor says, well, why not? She says, well, I look around the church. John Doe is sleeping. Jane Doe, I know that she's cheating on her husband. I know that this person is a drunk. All these hypocrites sitting in this church, I can't come back. I can't do it. I cannot, in right mind, come and worship at a church where we have all these hypocrites in this church. He said, okay. He said, I understand your concern. He said, what I want you to do, he said, before you leave, is come next Sunday. I want you to bring a full glass of water. And I want you to walk around the sanctuary three times and try not to spill a drop. She said, okay. So she walks, and so after the service, she comes up to him. She sits the glass down, and she says, I did it. I walked around three times. I didn't spill a single drop. He says, awesome. He said, so what were the other people doing? She said, I don't know. I was trying not to drop this water. I was trying not to spill the water. I didn't know. I don't know what anybody else was doing. He said, interesting. So maybe if you focused on yourself and your inner flaws and what God and what the Spirit is doing in you, then you won't see the flaws in others. And I read this story, and I'm like, man, that is, it's so true. And that's what's happening here in Balaam's story, is Balaam is so blinded by everything, and he's looking at the flaw. He thinks the donkey has a flaw. This donkey is not doing what I need it to do. I need to get to Balak. I need to go curse his enemies. And what's funny about this, I'll spoil it a little bit for you, is that when he gets to Balak, God starts blessing his enemies. And Balak says, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I kind of told you. You know, of course, Balaam starts blaming him and saying, you know, I kind of told you. They told me no. But here's the thing, is Balak is so focused, and so he's so blinded, by his anger at this donkey and trying to get to this thing that God has told him not to do, that he's missing this miracle that's happening in front of him. See, but the beautiful thing about God, and every time I've read this story since we talked about it in the hearing the voice of God, the beautiful thing is that God does discipline us. He does say that there is a consequence to sin. But in this story, he uses that miracle to save Balaam's life. He said, here's the consequence. Well, we know what the wage of sin is, death. We know that the wage of sin is death. And so we know that that's the consequence. And he's saying, the angel's here. The angel is going to kill you because you're acting in sin. But it says, if we go back to verse 28, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. The Lord was so graceful, so loving, that even in a moment where Balaam was living this life of sin, was in this act of sin, he sent this donkey. He opened this donkey's mouth to save Balaam's life. Because if we go to verse 32, 33, it says, the angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came out to oppose you because I consider what you're doing to be evil. The donkey saw me and turned away from me three times. If she had not turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and let her live. God saved Balaam's life. Why would he do that? Right? Balaam was acting in sin. Balaam was acting in disobedience. What is the natural consequence of sin? Death. So why would he save Balaam's life? Exactly. A purpose. He knew that he wanted to use Balaam, and he loved Balaam. That's the thing. God's love is what is the purpose, the motivation for this entire book. God wrote this book. God had people write this book because his purpose was because he loved us. If he didn't love us, why would he send his son? If he didn't love us and didn't want us to die, why would he give us every opportunity to escape death? But the way I hear it is that God is this big, mean God. Every time I hear anything about Christianity, it's this God, he's just a mean God. Why would I want to believe in this awful God who's just so mean and so evil? And I'm thinking, are we reading the same book? It's clear to me that death is the exact response to sin. It's clear. That makes sense to me. But what doesn't make sense to me is, why did God save me? Why did God save us? And when we come to that realization that it's because of God's love, that changes everything about how we look at God. It changes everything. And see, God uses Balaam's donkey. But when I see Balaam's donkey, I look at, maybe there's people in our lives that God is trying to use. Maybe we're the ones living in disobedience. We're all imperfect. We're all humans. We're saved by the grace of God, but we're humans. Maybe God is sending someone in our life, using someone in our life, to keep us from heading down that path. Maybe sends people in our lives to disciple us. You know, I was telling, and I think I can share this. I was sharing this in here in the Voice of God class. This is the first church that I've served at where I feel like I have been fed. It deserves a round of applause. It is an epidemic in churches that staff members are not fed. That staff members do not have a place to go to talk. Even if it's unintentional, I know. I know it's unintentional by congregants, but it's almost this perspective that there is this sense of perfection that must be put on staff members. And I was telling them, I said, this is the first time I've ever sat down at church and been discipled. I haven't been discipled in years. I have not been sat down and discipled and taught these different ways of God, of hearing the voice of God. I've never been taught that before. And so God has placed me here. And one of the things he said is, one of the reasons I put you here is so that you could be fed, that you could be discipled. We have hearing the voice of God. It's amazing. We have ICIT, right? And I'm probably missing some more. This church attempts to help people learn more and more about God and God's purpose for their lives. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of going to get to that. No, you're fine. You're fine. No, that's good. And also, he may use people to prophesy into your life. We know Miss Brenda has that gift, and it's wonderful. But there are people in your lives that God is using saying, they're going to prophesy to you. They're going to witness to you and tell you, this is what God wants for you. And we could do the human thing and say, okay, no, you know, I can't take compliment. Yeah, I just don't know if that's from God. That may just be you trying to encourage me. And so we have to understand that God has put these people in our lives for this reason. God has put people in our lives to hold us accountable. Now, this is the tough one. I think this is the one kind of what you're talking about. He put people in our lives to hold us accountable. If we don't have people in our lives that upset us because of our own iniquities, we're going to be in trouble. We need people to hold us accountable. Because if we don't, we're going to continue. Balaam would have continued into the angel of the Lord, and he would have died. He would have been killed. If he'd have ran into the angel of the Lord, he would have been killed. But because God used the donkey to kind of keep him from touching the angel of the Lord, he was saved. What in our life are we striving for? Are we going towards that friends in our lives are trying to keep us from? If you listen to any testimony, almost every single testimony, they're talking about, I wish I would have listened to this person. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have listened to this person. There are people in our lives that are going to tell us things we don't want to hear. And those are the people you need to be closest to. Those are the people you need. You need that accountability. Because if we're not careful, if we go back to, verse 25, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord and pressed herself against the wall, squeezing Balaam's foot against it, so he hit her once again. In another translation, it says it crushed his foot. Well, sometimes people have to say things that hurt us. And they're actually saying what God wants them to say. It hurts us because we're living in sin. It hurts the sinful side of us to hear that we're not doing something right, or we need to do something that we don't want to do. So again, we need that, because if we are blinded by sin and we're not listening to those that God has put in our lives, if we're blinded by that and we're not listening to them, then again, we're going to go down that path. And if we're acting in opposition to God, God can only act in opposition of us. And he's saying, I'm sending these people to you. It reminds me of the story they say where the guy is drowning in the ocean, and he's drowning and a boat comes by, and they're like, here, and they throw out a life preserver. Take the life preserver. And he's like, nah, God will save me. God will say, keep going. And another boat comes, and he's like, they throw out a preserver, and he's like, no, God will save me. Keep going. The man drowns. He goes to heaven. He says, God, why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent you two boats, you dummy. And so you look at that, and that's how we act. God, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you warn me in advance? He said, I sent that person. You didn't want to listen to him. I told you. You had a little consequence that hurt you so I could keep you from the big consequence, and you kept doing it anyway. We can look at, we battle spiritual warfare every day. What if some of that spiritual warfare is God saying, here's a little consequence. Here's something that's going to happen, but I'm trying to keep you from the big one. If you keep doing this, this is what's going to happen. And he puts people in your lives, and they're talking to you, and they're saying, don't do this. Don't do that. And you just keep going. We have to understand that God is going to send people in our lives to hold us accountable. We need those people. Because we'll fall. And when we fall hard. So, I want to go to verse 25. So, we talked about Balaam's foot being crushed. But if we would have seen, if we could see what God is doing in front of us, if we could stop and we listen to the people in our lives, or we listen to what God is telling us, or we allow the Spirit to speak to us and keep us from going to where we're not supposed to go, then maybe we could avoid that hurt. Again, A challenge by your friends could keep you from death. I mean, that could be spiritual death, but it could also mean physical death. Right? There are we need people in our lives to tell us that. We need people to tell us in our lives to sit down and say, you know, you're just not headed the right way. The life you're living, and of course, it has to be in love. I'm not saying someone who sits down and judges you and treats you as if you're this terrible person, but it's someone who says, listen, I love you, and you have to understand this. Everyone who grew up with great parents, when they're a kid, they're frustrated at their parents. My parents are so mean. They're so strict. They never let me do anything. And then they get older, and they have kids, and they say, gosh, I'm so mean and strict. I don't let my kids do anything. But you understand when you're out of the situation that your parents only did that because they loved you. You had to learn consequences for your actions. Because if not, you're going to learn them the hard way. And when you become an adult, and those things become exaggerated, the consequences become heightened. When you're a kid, the consequences are minimal, but that's to help you later on. And so we have to understand that that's why we have the family dynamic we have. God sent a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and they spent them as a father and a mother to nurture and to take care of their children, because that's how he is. Now look at how great your parents were. Now, I know not everyone had a great familial situation. I understand that. But if you had great parents, see how great they were. You can easily spot their imperfections, because that's the moments we always remember. But look at how great they were and think, those were sinful people trying their best. Imagine a God who has no sin, a God who is perfect, a God that loves us unconditionally, and imagine how much sweeter he is as a father. And so it really is, it's just, when I read this story, I think, man, I know that some people don't like you to read yourself into every story in Scripture. I understand that, but I can't help but look at Balaam and look at myself and think, if I'm not listening to those in my life that hold me accountable, if I'm acting in disobedience, what could happen? What's going to happen? One of the questions I want to leave you with is, put yourself in Balaam's shoes. Are you blinded by a sin in your life? And again, when I say this, I'm not just talking, you know, the things we think about, drunkenness, sexual immorality. Are you blinded by some kind of pain? Are you blinded by some kind of hurt? Maybe jealousy? Maybe you're blinded by low self-worth, low self-esteem. Whatever this thing is that's blinding you, are you blinded by it? Again, it could be self-doubt. Whatever it is, when we're looking at this, are we blinded by that? Are we missing what God's doing in our lives? Are we missing the miracles? Are we missing the talking donkey that God has put in front of us to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't go that way. Maybe you shouldn't make that decision. Or do you have a person in your life that can tell you that? It's great that we want to listen to someone, but have we allowed people to be in our lives that's going to tell us what we need to hear? We don't need a lot of yes men and yes women. The world will do that for you. All you got to do is go on social media. You'll get a lot of yes men and yes women. It's not hard to find people who are going to support everything you do. What's harder is to find people who are comfortable enough, who love you enough to say, this is wrong. Do you have those people in your life? Do you have that person, and who is that person? But the last question is, are you that person? Have you felt God putting on your heart, I really want to talk to this person. I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about the path they're going. And here's the thing. We have to be careful, okay? I was at my last church. We had a guy, a missionary, who came in. And he was talking. He was stationed in Moscow, Russia, I'm not sure. I'm not going to say his name. He wasn't supposed to find out, but we found out. But he was in Moscow, Russia. And he said, here's the thing. God gives you the right to talk about him. You have the God-given right to tell people about how much he loves you and how great God is. But you have to earn the right to be heard. So you can say, well, I feel like I'm this person that needs to tell this person where they're at in life. But have you earned the right to be heard by that person? Because we, if we're blinded by our sin, we can tear friendships apart. We've seen it. I've witnessed it. In my own family, I've had family members who've lost friendships over politics. You can tear family relationships apart. I've seen an aunt that is no longer allowed to see her nephew or her great niece because of politics. And so again, do we have those people in our lives, or are we that person, and have we earned the right to be heard in that person's life? The donkey had earned the right to keep Balaam from going towards the angel. Why? Because he said, you've ridden me your entire life. You've ridden me your entire life. Have I ever done anything like this before? And Balaam goes, no. And I imagine at this point, it's probably hit Balaam that the donkey's talking to him. But I also imagine that he's sheepishly saying, no, you never have. And I could not imagine the moment when the angel reveals, when the Lord opens his eyes and the angel is revealed, and she goes, if you would have ran into me, you would have died. Imagine the pain, the guilt that he felt that he had just beat this donkey 3 times and it had saved his life. We have to be careful because we can tear family relationships apart. We can tear friendships apart. We can verbally berate someone because we are hiding, we're covered in our sin and we're not wanting to hear this accountability that's given to us. So again, I leave you with this. Do you have someone in your life to hold you accountable? Do you have someone in your life that's going to help you see what's in front of you? Are you listening to the Spirit that God has put within you and saying, don't go that way? Because here's the thing. Balaam, he prayed to God, right? The first time that Balak summoned him and said, come curse my enemies, he prayed to him. If he can pray to God, he's having a relationship with God. So I'm not questioning Balaam's salvation here. Because Balaam had a relationship. He went to God and God said, no, do not go. It was when he ignored the Spirit of God, he ignored the voice of God and acted in disobedience and went anyway, that's when the consequence came. So hear me out. When I'm saying, do you have a sin or do you have something that's blinding you? I'm not questioning your salvation. Because again, I put myself in Balaam's shoes. I've been here before. We have a relationship with Christ, but we can still find ourselves acting in disobedience. And those are going to have consequences. So are you acting in disobedience to God? And if you are, or if you will, do you have someone in your life that you feel that can hold you accountable, that you can trust, that you'll listen to? It'll hurt because we don't like people to challenge us, but do you? Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. We can glean so much from it. And every time you're talking to someone in Scripture, I feel like you're talking directly to me. And God, I just pray today that we look at ourselves in the mirror. Are we living in sin? Are we headed down a path that's going to lead to death? And if we are, do we have people in our lives who are trying to hold us accountable, who are trying to help us, trying to challenge us? And if we don't, please, God, help us find those people. Find that person that you can use to keep us. Because yes, you want us to see there's a consequence to our sin, but you want to save us. You don't want us to face that consequence. That's why you sent your son to die for us. so that we're covered by his blood, so that we don't have to face the consequence of sin. In your name we pray. Amen. You want to say anything?
To you. He's done a great job, hadn't he? One of the things from this is that when you beat the donkey, you're beating the miracle. So when miracles happen, don't beat the miracle up saying it doesn't happen like that today. God doesn't do that today. God used to do that. He doesn't do that today. You're beating the miracle. You're pushing back the miracle because of your thought process, because God doesn't do it today. I heard one man saying, it was Bobby Connor. He said the Lord told him one time, he said, "I give you permission to exaggerate anything that I do. I give you permission to try to exaggerate anything that I can do." And he actually said, "Well, Lord, I need a verse for that, you know." And he said, and it's in Ephesians where it says, "Now he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask, think, or dream." So he's able to do more than what you exaggerated about him. So we have to learn to do that. We have to learn to really speak that whatever the impossible thing looks like, he can do the impossible. Amen? Amen. Great word. Great word. Well, we're going to close, but in so doing, I want to tell you something. We've been raising money. The other week, we started raising money for a new van. Pastor Austin and the youth out at Christmas time to do caroling, and the van broke down. But that's not the first time the van's broken down. You know, the van's broken down several times. It's 23 years old, and we decided it's time to get a new van and let the youth be safe and they can get there and back. You know, so we decided to do that. But in the meantime, we was going to try to raise all the money before we got it. But in the meantime, we had so many trips, and he's doing a great job in taking the youth on trips and the children on trips. And so we knew that we needed to go ahead and get the van now. So we took the funds out of an emergency fund so we can go ahead and get it. And I really want to say thank you to Elder Doug and Elder Eddie Hutchins. They found this thing. And it looks brand new on the inside. It does. It looks brand new. It's a 2020. And thank you so much for going out and doing that. But, But we still need to replace the emergency fund. Amen. So let's try to pay that thing, put that back in our emergency fund this year. It costs $55,000. And do this. Okay, all right. It's 2023 is all I can tell you. You know, everything's high, you know. But this one does look brand new on the inside. It looks brand new on the outside, too. But they did a great job of doing it. But what we have is Rita. It's out there. Rita has moved the van from up there. It's out in this yard right here. So you're welcome to go that way and just look inside it and look at it. And don't drive it off. You know, I'm messing with you. But I want to say thank you for those that have already given. I think we already have about 7,000 given. So just continue to do that, and we'll put our emergency fund back if that's okay. Let's stand to our feet in honor of God. Do you want the word that was sown to impact your life? Well, then ask the Lord to do that now. Just ask the Lord to do that now.
I just want to say one thing. Is that okay? Yeah. I just wanted to say, I don't know if he did this on purpose. I don't think he did. But this Sunday marks the one-year anniversary since me and Amanda have been here. Amanda and myself and Titus. And I just wanted to thank you guys for embracing us and welcoming us here And I just want to commend you. When we had the altar call, we had a salvation. And as she walked back, it took her 10 minutes to get to the back because she probably had 7 or 8 people give her a hug. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a love that people need to see. So I want to commend you as a church for doing that, but also thank you for welcoming us and embracing us. And sometimes it really does feel like we've been here for years and years. So thank you.
I really also thought Austin was preaching today because he had been here for a year, so I was pretty confident that Terry was going to shove a microphone in my face. I just want to echo kind of what Austin said about Austin is on staff here, and Austin is here as a minister, but I think God put us here for us. That, you know, we sang a song today, Make Room for You, and one of the lines in there is about breaking the ground of all my tradition and breaking the walls of all my religion. And I think God had a plan in bringing us here, and in a lot of ways. And this church is so much of what I think both of us were hungry for a really long time. It was an answer to our prayers. And I think both of us have grown more in the last year that we've been here than we probably have in our whole adult lives, which isn't a whole lot of years. But we're really thankful for this church. I've been through some of the classes here as well, and I've built a lot of relationships here with people who, even though I've known them for such a short time, are already that person in my life, like Austin was talking about, that holds you accountable and that gets you on the path that God wants you to be on. And so I'm really thankful to be here.
And one last thing. It's funny, I had an interview. One of the interviews I did was in the youth room, and there was a lot of people there. I believe Jenna and Reagan and Renee and Gina and Terry and Darren and Antoni, and I'm probably missing a couple. But I'll never forget, I was telling them, they were asking me why, of course, I had applied for this position. And I remember Antoni asking me, are you looking for a church or are you looking for a job? And I said, I'm looking for both. And we found that here. So,
amen. Amen. You want to say something? This is his mom and dad, and they serve at another church. You're a deacon at it, and we just thank you so much for raising this young man up to be who he is and all. But we just want to say thank you for being here today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your love. And Lord, we just pray that every word that was spoken that had life in it, let it operate inside us, that we would be exactly like you want us to be to the people that you put us in front of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. If we had a cake, we'd light it.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.